As time wore on, that first Good Friday, the mocking and jeering mob began to grow tired of the spectacle. And furthermore, a change had taken place on Calvary since our Lord's crucifixion. A strange darkness had come over the sky. The sun no longer gave its light. God had spoken about this day centuries before through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the day of the Lord shall come, a cruel day full of indignation and of wrath and fury. The stars of heaven shall not display their light, and the sun shall be darkened in its rising. And now this prophecy was coming true. Darkness covered the land. And the crowd that had surrounded the cross was beginning to break up in confusion. A new group drew near to the foot of our Lord's cross. It was a sorrowful little company composed of several women and St. John, the beloved apostle. Of all the apostles, he was the only one to be found on Calvary. About a week before the events of Good Friday, there occurred an incident involving St. John and his brother, St. James. The mother of these two apostles, filled no doubt with love and concern for her sons, this mother approached our Lord and in the hearing of the other apostles, asked that her two sons, James and John, be given the highest places in our Lord's kingdom. Our Lord answered that those who wanted a share in his kingdom would have to drink the chalice he would offer them. And the chalice our Lord offered was that of suffering. St. John said he could drink of this chalice. And indeed, here we find him at the foot of the cross, loyal to the end. Of all the apostles, we know that St. John was the youngest. He was innocent, and he was loved in a special way by our Lord. And St. John loved our Lord adamantly in return, as a soldier loves his king. Now to see his king nailed to a cross, covered with wounds and insulted in every way, it was a tremendous blow to the heart of St. John. But he still loved, and he was still the beloved apostle. And now he was about to be the recipient of our Lord's last earthly possession. Our divine Savior had always lived a life of poverty. The little he did have had been stripped of him by his executioners. The only thing he could still call his own was his mother. But for love of us, he would give her away too. And St. John was to receive her on behalf of the whole human race. With great effort, our Lord pulled himself up on the nails in his hands and pushed down on the nail in his feet so that he could speak. fixing his eyes on Our Lady, he said with great effort, "Woman, behold thy son. Son," he said to St. John, "behold thy mother." In that moment, a change took place in the heart of St. John. And he conceived a son's love for Our Lady. It's as though our Lord said to him, "I know what you are suffering now. I know that you are sad at my death and that you are in need of consolation. Let my mother be thy mother. Let her take my place. She will love you. She will console you. She will encourage you. Take her for your mother, for now she is yours." And sacred scripture says that from that hour, John took her to his own. But you know, my dear faithful, the words, "Behold thy mother," were not directed to John alone. They were directed to mankind, to us. Our Lord was speaking to the brethren he had adopted by becoming man. He was about to leave us by his death and also by his ascension into heaven a short time after. He was going away, but he would not leave us orphans. And so he determined to give us one last gift to comfort us in this valley of tears. His life he had already given. His precious blood was pouring out to the last drop for all men. And with this last gift, he gave the only remaining possession. And just as St. John was filled with true filial sentiments towards Mary, so Mary was filled with motherly sentiments toward each and every one of us. Every joy and every sorrow that we have, she feels too. In every danger, she is ready to help and protect us, if only we will turn to her. And if our faults are many, she is moved to compassion for us all the more. And you know too, my dear faithful, that those words of our Lord to St. John and to us, "Behold thy mother," they were a command as well as an offer of consolation. There is a command here for each and every one of us to love and honor the Blessed Virgin Mary the same way a child loves and honors his parents. We should ask ourselves this afternoon, as we stand beneath the cross with Our Lady, we should ask ourselves in what way we resemble St. John in our devotion to her. Do we take her to our own as he did? Do we make her a part of our lives each and every day as he did? Do we recite her rosary like she asked us to at Fatima? Have we made her five first Saturdays if we can? Do we wear her brown scapular? Do we have pictures and statues of her in our homes? Do we pay her the honor, the respect, and the love that a child shows his mother? We can be sure Our Lady will never forget what our Lord said to her, "Behold thy son." May we, like St. John, never forget what Jesus has said to us, "Behold thy mother."